Hello, I'm Jason Portheater, and this is Some Assembly Required. Today I am talking to the cast and crew of Hashtag Ballet Must Fall. That's Jared Musica, Asisipho Mulanga, and Londiwe Khoza. Did I get your names right?
Surname was wrong.
What was your surname? What did I?
Malunga.
Malunga, what did I say? Malonga.
Yeah.
Malunga. Thank you. They are on at the Alexander Bar Theatre and Cafe on Strand Street, Cape Town, where we are currently sitting upstairs in an air-conditioned theatre. It's really hot outside during Cape Town's heat wave. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. So tell me, why must ballet fall?
Jared?
Well, I think not that dance has ever been something which is, ever been sort of economically huge and viable and will earn people lots of money. But I think we've got a problem in South Africa because, as a young South African dancer and as my fellow cast members are all dancers, there's no work for us. There's no work artistically. There's no work artistically that's challenging, and it's also very difficult to sort of get attention from South African directors and people that have companies. They're not really opening their doors up to sort of young work. And then the young people that are creating dance, they don't have any funding. So, you've kind of at like wits end, like where do you go, what do you do? And if you can't afford to go overseas, which at the moment, with our current exchange rate is nearly impossible, but,
Thank you.
You speak nice too.
So, and then how does this play into dance, into what you do as an art form?
Dance has its own stereotypes. Like that's another thing.
Okay, because
Like
I'll tell you what I think the stereotypes are. I mean, when I was in drama school, sort of early 2000s, we had this idea that dance school was filled with these like skinny, bony masochists who were like chain smoking and drinking buckets of coffee.
That's
Just
so
to stay
true, though.
skinny,
Oh,
and
yes.
they would do anything, for that next big break. Is that true?
But we weren't like that, though.
Look, like I think there's a huge difference between contemporary company mentality and ballet company mentality.
What is it?
Like, for me personally, I think in contemporary companies, it's more like this. Everyone's rooting for each other. You have one purpose.
She's clasping her
You
hands together when she says like this.
have one purpose. It's about being healthy and strong. But in a ballet company, because the stereotypes go back to like when Christ was born,
Feels like
you
it.
have to look like this long, skinny thing. You're a lily white princess. You all have to look the same. You all have to have the same height of leg. You all have to have the same hair color. Like, there's no room for,
Individuals.
yeah, there's no room for anything.
I think
Yeah.
this is where the play. This is, I mean, something that's I think really one of the strong points and one of the strong standpoints of the play is that I'm sitting next to two ladies who are like really talented, and anyone who's ever seen them dance will agree with me. Highly like skilled young ballerinas here, and yet they will never.
Right,
One or
why do you
two.
object?
Oh, me ballet.
You don't do ballet.
Oh,
You don't do.
I like it. I think to get humbled and to be humbled, you have to go back to a ballet class. And like, if you think you have problems, go back to a ballet class,
Oh,
and you'll find that your problems are not that real.
yeah.
Like, I enjoy it for that aspect of it, and it gives you an amazing technique. But this one here,
But you
speak
know,
of her.
so the my point is that the thing about is that ballet companies, ballet draws on a history which is so foreign to South Africa. Well, it's not really foreign. I mean, it's this is the history that it's ultimately like has oppressed South Africa, and it's not on a South Africa. It's not a South African body type. The ballet, the classical
Yeah.
dancer. It's we're here. We come from a completely different history. Our history is more, we've got grit to South African history. We've got difficult times. And ballet is about princes and princesses in royal courts running around Europe with these highly romantic themes. You know, these lily white pretty princesses. It's very romantic and it's beautiful. But how relevant is it to South Africa and to South African body types? And you look at the ballet companies, look at the demographics of ballet companies, and you're like, well, why are we training up so many young ballerinas? And I'm not saying that the technique is not important. I think it's very important for dancers to be technically trained. But I think there's a difference between having ballet as a technique or having it as a style that's really, you know, pushed upon dancers. The technique will strengthen your body and you know, take your dancing to another level. But at the same time, is if you're a classical dancer, where do you go? Because how many roles are relevant, or how many roles look, you know, will look the part if you're like a young black ballerina? And the answer is none. That's why there's so few.
You will never, ever, ever find a black girl doing a lead role.
Really?
I've never seen it. I've never in my life seen a white swan about a black girl.
And also, what's funny is that we've discussed this whole situation, and I was saying to the cast on Saturday, we were talking, and I was saying when I started, I had never met any dancers that looked like me. And the funny thing is, when I met the first black dancer, like, I was like in awe. I was like, oh wow. But you're not told as a child, because whenever you watch, whenever you watch people on stage, you're automatically drawn to someone who looks like you. And when I saw this girl, I was like, oh wow, maybe I can do it too. And then we became friends later on, and I think she's an amazing performer. But then as well, like, there's no, you don't get support from the township if you do something like this, you know what I mean? Because the demographic is lily white, and then there's you, the little sore thumb. Like, I've never seen anyone on stage that will look like me and Lolly. You know what I mean? Like, we are the two little token black girls wherever we come from, and like, it shouldn't have to be that way. You know what
so
I mean?
So how does this all feed into Ballet Must Fall? I mean, Ballet Must Fall has been billed as an interesting mix of I think ballet, you said, and there's some contemporary and also some comedy stuff.
Well,
and it's called a dance play.
Yeah.
So now, what is a dance play?
So I was playing with the idea of like dance theater, which is obviously a style, and it lends itself to it was Pina Bausch's term, and I didn't want to write this play and put something together that would alienate anyone who doesn't understand dance, because basically that's everyone.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of the play is it's very tongue-in-cheek, it's very rude, it's everything ballet's not. Mm-hmm. And the point about what the whole perspective of the play is, like, looking into the life of a young ballerina, or young dancer, specifically a ballerina, and what she has to do, and the name she gets called, and the things she gets called, and what she's subjected to, different, what her parents think she does, what her friends think she do, what society thinks she does. And it's a dance play, because obviously we can't only dance. I think there's some interesting, like, metaphors that come out of it that just happen. It's like we're trained dancers, we're trained to dance on a huge stage. Here we are in intimate theatre, and we're still going to dance. Mm. We've still got that resilience.
Mm. Talk about that a bit more for me, the scale of things here at the Alexander Theatre. I mean, it's roughly kind of like 6 meters wide and a couple of meters deep. How has that affected the way in which you've developed this piece?
Well, I choreographed it in a big space. In a studio space. Mm. And the idea was exactly this. It's cramped. It's beautiful, it's big, you've got space, and we're cramped as dancers, and I think that translates. And this is where it becomes, this is why I called it a dance play, and we're moving towards dance theatre, is I'm not trying to prove to anyone we can dance, and I'm not showing choreography that's supposed to be cutting edge or groundbreaking here. This is about what it's like to be a dancer, and this is about the life of a dancer in South Africa, and the fact that we don't really have much life. We are a little bit cramped. We're in small spaces, and it's nice to have a small space where it's really have the conversation, and maybe if we're fortunate enough to have people from the industry in the audience, they should be able to see what's happening right in front of them. And every single thing in the play is based on truth, on our personal experience, on people that have written to me about stuff. There's nothing that's even exaggerated.
That's a mind-boggling thing.
This is the mind-boggling thing, and what I'd really like to express to the audience and whoever comes to see this is that it might seem like a grotesque or like an exaggeration of things. It is Exactly, and every single line is taken from our personal experiences, experiences of people that I've spoken to in the industry. People, I've had people write into me, not even just in South Africa, like around the world, and it's like, this is what people tell you, this is what you have to swallow.
Give me a small taste or an example from a play or something that's happened to you.
What's a place like? You'll be in a ballet, if you're in the middle of season or like a rehearsal season, you'll be rehearsing every day, 8 hours a day.
What, like Swan Lake? Fucking Swan Lake.
Fucking Swan Lake. You are there, you are rehearsing 8 hours, your body is done. There comes a time when your body starts to like switch off and the fatigue hits you. Mm-hmm. And you start getting a bit like your class and your technique class, which is there to warm you up. And then you'll have a teacher going, my boyfriend can bend further than that. What is that? What is this? Or are you tired? Don't yawn in my class.
I know you guys are tired. I really understand. Mm. But you need to get going.
And no one cares. That's the thing dance has taught me. Like, no one cares. You can be tired, broken. You are like
me on your deathbed. You better be in that class.
You better be in that class because no one cares.
Yeah.
It's just the reality of it. And what's funny is really nothing in the play is made up. Like every single situation and every instance in the play is like
true. Every word.
Every word like has been something that's been said to either all three of us. Like he had to draw abs on his body.
I was told I was fat.
You?
Yes.
I've
been told I was fat.
If
I looked
you put
fat
your feet together, you'll disappear down the drain in the shower. You are so skinny. Fat.
This is a dancer struggle, disappearing down the drain.
Is it a fat thing?
I'm fat.
What?
I'm huge.
I've gained a lot of weight, but I'm fat.
But that's because they want a particular body type that they're looking for?
But then cut the bones away.
That's ballet.
Maybe start shaving my bones away then, if you want me to look like that.
But then look at something like, look at jazz art. The work that Ananda Fuchs was doing and stuff that Jay Pather did, working with real bodies.
Modern dance is, and this is why we're saying, is why are we still, focusing on ballet? Because jazz art has the most phenomenal history. And I feel like South African theatre and the live South African work, we've done some really incredible things that we should be proud of. Mm. From the protest theatre and people like Ananda Fuchs and Alfred Hinkel and jazz art.
Alfred Hinkel. We had him for one semester at drama school. I had a 2-hour class with him and I couldn't walk for about 3 days after.
Exactly.
And I went to Jay to say, I think I've hurt myself. And Jay Pather says, what did you do? I said, I had a class with Alfred, and he just packed up laughing.
that's
and he just said to me, you better get used to it. And he walked off.
And I think there's a difference in approach. Is the other thing that you get approached of it, and that there's another thing that I can't. This is my personal voice, because I have a problem with authority, hence why I'm writing stuff like this. But it's like, teachers come into a class and they treat you are the student, I am the teacher, and I am. I'm above you, and you owe me something. And it doesn't really, dance is that silent art form thing which you don't get to speak, they speak. And if you don't get what they're saying, if they're not expressing themselves
then
clearly,
you
are stupid. Mm. I mean, how many times did Sipos...
I walked out of a class and I refused to return because a teacher repeatedly asked me if I was stupid. Like, repeatedly. And after a while, it didn't feel like he was trying to teach me anything. It felt like he was trying to humiliate me.
Yeah.
And we were all in the same class. And Oscar, I was done. I left. Because after a while, I realized it was either up to me to kind of take myself out of that situation, because how many times am I going to go home and cry about it or think about it and have it ruin my day?
Constantly subjecting yourself an abusive situation.
Exactly. So I thought, if he doesn't want me in his space, then I don't have to be in that space. So I'm just going to remove myself. And I did. And I just walked out of there don't feel bad about it.
You know what's interesting is that I think, if I think of like the drama environment, we've all done acting as part of our course as well. And when we were studying, rather. And I know, like in drama, things come up. You're going to fight with someone. You even will take on a director and it's there's our directors of your choreographers rather and whatever that you'll have words with, but in drama you speak, it's your job.
Yeah.
So there's that two-way dialogue happening and you'll have your little bit of tension and but in dance it's a one-way thing.
Mm.
You swallow and this is what you see with young dancers is that they're never taught to speak. Their bodies and everything starts to look like something that's being broken and broken, and eventually they do break. And when eventually they do turn 30 and they reach their expiry date, which happens?
30.
30.
If you're lucky.
So if you're lucky, 30 is the expiry date in your body for a dancer.
And no, I mean that then you're also too old.
Yeah.
Especially for ballet. And then, I mean, all those ones that hang in there.
like who?
I'm not going to mention those. Oh, but they hang and you'll see them on stage. With
okay, the ones that like, I used to be a prima. They have a couple of gin and tonics, and then they'll corner you and tell you, I used to be a prima with K-Pab.
Oh, you should see. And if you have class with them, then you better be scared. They are the dangerous ones. But yeah, it's a one-way dialogue. You never get to speak as a dancer. So it's, I think that's what the contemporary world has brought, is you do have people that just do wonderful things, treat you as human beings for change.
I'm really looking forward to see Ballet Must Fall. It's on Thursday the 7th, Friday the 8th, and Saturday the 9th of January at 9 p.m. Alexander Bar Theatre and Cafe upstairs. It is 80 rand. Guys, well, I suppose break a leg is the wrong thing to say. Yeah.
No, it's the right thing to say.
You say break a leg in ballet.
They're like saying chukkas.
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 Chukkas. It sounds like a rash or something.
It's a rash.
Cool. Thank you so much for being on Some Assembly Required. Jared Asisipo and Londiwe from Ballet Must Fall.